Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, Text Number 11. Rahogana converses with Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadam Isudham Param Artham Ekam Anantaram Tu Abhahiya Brahma Satyam Pratyat Ashantam Bhagavach Chakra Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kalmayo Vedanti Yanam Vishutam Paramartam Vekam Anantaram Tu Adhiya Brahma Satyam Rajat Prasantam Bhavachata Sangyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vedanti Dhanam Vishudham Paramartam Ekam Anantaram Tu Api Brahma Satyam Atrasantam Bhavachata Sangyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vedanti Yanam Vishudham Paramartam Ekam Anantaram Tu Api Brahma Satyam Pratakrasantam Bhavachata Sangyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vedanti Janam Vishudham Paramartam Ekam Anantaram Tu Api Brahma Satyam Tathagatasantam Bhavachata Sangyam Yathasudeva Kavayo Vedanti Shantam Bhavachata Sangyam Yathasudevam Kavayo Vedanti Yanam Vishudham Paramartam Ekam Anantaram Tu Brahma Satyam Prasantam Bhavachata Sangyam Yathasudevam Kavayo Vedanti Yanam Vishudham Paramartam Ekam All other scholars describe the Supreme Person as Vasudeva, the cause of Brahman, Paramatma, and others. Suddenly, Jagadrat, he's asking a question, what is the ultimate truth? And he says that the answer is that non-dual knowledge is the ultimate truth. But you see, Jagadrat, he's been using different systems of philosophy to preach to Maharajana. Previously, he was speaking about the atoms, atomic principle, everything is atoms. Now he's talking about what's beyond the atoms. So how is he describing that, which is beyond the atoms, beyond everything? he says the answer is that non-dual knowledge is the absolute truth. So dual means composed of two parts. So the ultimate truth is knowledge not composed of two parts. So if I say I'm going to tell you the absolute truth, you say, really, what is it? And I say it's knowledge, that it's not composed of two parts. You really understand the absolute truth? Because it's telling what it's not, non-dual. So this is the part of Yan, knowledge, neti-neti. Not this, not this. Then they don't say what it is, but they can tell you what it's not. So non-dual. It's not composed. It's not composed of two parts, but that doesn't really tell you much, does it? It tells you what it's not. It's not composed of two parts. It's not really saying what it is. So, this is the part of jnana, trying to decipher what it is by understanding what it's not. So everything they come into, but it's not this, it's not. It's not this, but what it is that they cannot say. So, if you practice the path, Prabhupada said the first understanding you have is you come to I am, it is. This is knowledge. This is knowledge. I am, it is. Next question would be, I am what? It is what? So then you can go on speculating. What I am, what it is, or what I am, what God is. I am, God is, it is, God is. But this is the beginning of knowledge and speculative part. So, who am I? This is the question. I am, okay, I am, it is, but I am what? Who am I? This is the question everybody should be asking. It's not from Goswami. First Lord Chaitanya, this is his first question. Who am I? They call me a Pandit. What's Pandit? The Sanskrit version of the Hindi. He was very Pandit. Minister. And people are calling me Pandit, he said, but I'm so Jewish, I do not even know who I am. With a straw between his teeth and his brain. So this is the beginning of spiritual life when you ask this question, who am I? So you can say also, I am me. That's okay. I am me. And it is God. That's okay. not say I am God, or I am it. I am me, that's okay, but I am not it. If someone has a very big false ego, will you say, he really thinks he's it, doesn't he? He really thinks he's it. Say it in English, he thinks he's the best thing since chocolate biscuits. He has a very big ego and a high opinion of himself. So you can't really say that I am it, because everyone thinks, oh, he's really puffed up. So anyway, we can understand, okay, I am me and God is me, but I'm not God. So it's difficult to comprehend, but it fits nicely in the Chintavada Veda philosophy, the Shisara philosophy. Everything fits nicely in that, especially this point of understanding our relationship with God. I am me and God is me, but I am not God. We are part of God. God is one and he becomes many. So we are the part. Same qualities as we are one with God. Quantitatively, there's a great deal of difference. He is unlimited. We are very limited. So, but the idea of knowledge, we're trying to find out something that is beyond the purview of the mind and senses. What are we using to find transcendence, non-dual substance? What are we using? We're using a material mind, material senses. That's all we've got to look at, and material intelligence. So how can you ever possibly understand what's beyond material elements with material mind and senses? Is the tools we are using, but they're incompetent to understand what's beyond the atoms. The mind is atoms, the senses are atoms. We're trying to find something beyond atoms with atoms. So it doesn't work. But it fits in with the Chintavada Veda philosophy. So it's not actually only by accepting the authority of the Vedas, the scriptures, and by the mercy of a true devotee, then everything becomes very clear. So this is the importance of the association of devotees and leading the devotees, because then they can clear the whole situation up. That I can say the absolute truth is me, but I cannot say I am the absolute truth. But it's a fact, the absolute truth is me. But I'm not the absolute truth. The party of the absolute truth. So in this way, again, is going speculating. Until they're fortunate enough to be a pure devotee. Then a pure devotee can... In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, Yad Advaitam Namo Upanishadam Tad Apiya Shatanubhad. The impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Absolute Truth consists of the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ya Atma Yami Purusha Iti So Shamasha Vidyash. What is known as Atma and Antayami, the super soul, is not an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Shad Aishwarya Kurma Yahi Bhagavan Sashwayam Ayam. What is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete with six opulences, is Vasudev. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is no different from him. So he is describing his three aspects. Brahman is the first realization, then the Paramatma, and then Bhagavan. Kim Tat Brahma Kimadiya, Sartre's question to Krishna, what is Brahma? What is the sun? And Krishna says that every entity is Brahma. But it's not Brahma. The entity's eternal nature is called the self. So this is self-realization when you realize your eternal nature. So then you can understand what is Brahma. It's attained by realization by the mercy of the pure devotees. But not by speculation. Or in other words, GPS will find if the Krishna has, this is the conclusion of all your, I'm trying to understand who I am, this is the conclusion of him, the GPS will find Nitya Krishna Das, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, so that is fixed. So, it contains six opulences. And it's these six opulences that we can know the Lord through these different opulences. If he didn't manifest opulence, we wouldn't be able to know. So, the Supreme Person of the Godhead is complete in six opulences. He is Vasudeva, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known different from him. Great learned of scholars and philosophers accept after many, many births. Vasudeva Sharamiki Sharmatmana Sharulavas, Bhagavad Gita 7:19. The wise man can understand ultimately that Vasudeva Krishna is the cause of Brahman Paramatma, then Paramatma, the Super Soul. So, here, after many, many births, it says, we come to the conclusion of knowledge. This is it. Yanis, after many, many births of being a Yani, one comes to understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So here Prabhupada is saying Lord Chaitanya is no different than Vasudeva. But in Lord Chaitanya, he is that supreme Bhagavan doing six opulences, but he's not saying after many, many, many births. You can actually take shelter of Krishna. He's saying, here, I'm giving you Krishna Bhakti, you can take shelter right now, you can accept right now. This is the difference. Some people are very magnanimous. To understand Vasudeva, well known to thousands of births, being in Kali. But Lord Chaitanya, you don't have to wait that long. Krishna says, those who acted piously in previous life and in this life, all their sins are washed away. They're free from all dualities of this. Only they can take my devotional service. From purified in this birth and previous birth, Krishna. So again, it's like a process of many, many births to become purified. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, here, just take the holy name, take devotional service, Chandra and Krishna. One lifetime you can take. Why wait so many births? So this is a uniqueness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. He is Swayam Bhagavan himself, he is Vasudeva. But he's acting in a role of a devotee, and he's given everybody the opportunity to. He's giving his own service, he's offering his own service to himself. So this is the specialness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he can transcend the union of all those births. In this verse is coming from previous verses. There are four kinds of pious men, religious men who come to me. Those in distress, those who want money, those who are inquisitive, and the wise ones. So who is the best? The wise one. Because Krishna says he has the wise one because he's constantly absorbed in me, his mind is always absorbed in me, he never forgets me even for a moment, he's always thinking of me, with devotion. So he is the best of all. So what about the other three? The Krishna says, they also love me, they're also my devotees, but they have material desires that they come into me. But because they do love me, they are my devotees, then I fulfill all their desires. I give them the greatest happiness. Not simply because they worship me for it, but I want to give it to them because they're my devotees. I know they have the desire for material desires, and I give it to them. But that's my greatness. I love my devotees also, they love me. Even if they want material desire, fulfill it. So they enjoy greatest happiness. They can go to the highest planets and enjoy it. Krishna will send them there. That's his prerogative. And then in one lifetime, they'll become detached from this. They realize there isn't much really enjoyment. So Krishna will give them so much enjoyment. But then also, they'll by the association of devotees, then they will realize, actually, there is no really enjoyment in this material world. So then, Vasudeva Sharanam, then the other three will also take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So they can all take shelter of lotus feet. Another explanation Prabhupada gave now Krishna, he's saying, Vahunam Yama, Jamanam Dina. Many, many births of knowledge, searching for the truth, absolute truth. Then he comes to this platform of understanding, Vasudeva, Sarvamiti Bhagavan, Vasudeva, fullness of softness. So then he surrenders unto him at the beginning of spiritual life. So, Prabhupada says, now I'm telling you that the result of knowledge searching for many, many lifetimes, the result would be Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He is that Bhagavan is everything. I'm telling you this, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. If you hear me and you act on that, then you skip all those thousands and thousands of births, because you come to the conclusion of thousands and thousands of births of being again. But you skip that and come to the point of surrendering to Krishna. So this is the mercy of a devotee. This is one moment's association with the devotee, how so valuable it is. Simply by a little bit of association, you skip thousands and thousands of births. Very practical for most of us here, I guess. Very complete. Lost, and what was the first thing we learned when we came in contact with the pure devotee in his teachings? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And he surrendered. Why are you learning the tea like some devotees inside? You skip, by the mercy of a pure devotee, you've skipped thousands and thousands of births of being again in such a because you come to the proper conclusion. So according to this, what Prabhupada says, so the one who is materially distressed, one who wants money, the one who is inquisitive, the jnani, who is the best? Who is the best? Yeah, the one who is ready to Krishna. So he may be in materially distressed, but he's friends with Krishna. He is the jnani, he is the very dear to Krishna. He may be the Abhyarthi, he may want money. But he's friends with Krishna, he's the best, he's the jnani. So whoever comes to this position, he is the jnani, he is very dear to him. So this is called it's the awakening process. What's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says that out of thousands of men of life. Thank you. So much you understand that truth. But is that truth? The hunger must be. They're actually realizing it. And out of those, every one of those actually knows me in truth. From smiling good. So we see, you know, in the world today, there's so many systems of self-realization and so many ways and so many philosophies. But more or less, they're all bringing you up the Brahman, platform. That's the goal. But actually, bhakti begins at that point. Real bhakti begins at that point. Just now you've understood Brahman, you've understood truth. So that is real. Spiritual feeling is there. So now you can, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, now the hearing really begins. Now the chanting really begins. Because it's being done with feeling, spiritual feeling. Because you're understanding your own spirit as, your own identity as Brahman. So this is the real beginning of this actual sambandha. It's when one becomes self-realized, even the sense of hunger must be. So this is like a great awakening. It's awakened by the mercy of the devotee. Without contact with the devotee, you wouldn't be awakened. The bodies might understand that ultimately Vasudeva Krishna is the Supreme Brahman. And Paramatma the Super Soul, that Vasudeva is Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The real tattva, absolute truth, is Bhagavan. But due to incomplete realization of the absolute truth, people sometimes describe the same Vishnu as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or localized Paramatma. This is due to incomplete realization. So the Jnanis, they stop at Brahman, the Yogis, they stop at Paramatma. But there's further to go. We are Nitya Krishna Das. So we have to go to Bhagavan. Vedanti Tata, because Tatram Yad Yad Vabayam, Ramaniti Paramatmati Bhagavat is subject A. But come on to 11. From the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Satyam Param Dimihi. We meditate on the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth is explained here as Jnanam, Vishuddha Shatvam. The Absolute Truth is devoid of material contamination and is transcendental to the material qualities. It gives all spiritual success and liberation from this material world. Now that supreme, absolute truth is Krishna. So here, the absolute truth is Krishna, this being stated here. Some people realize him as Brahman, some people realize him as Paramatma, and some people realize him as Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. As it said in the translation, all learned scholars describe the Supreme Person as Vasudeva, the cause of Brahman, Paramatma, and others. So others means Bhagavan, he has many incarnations, so there's so many also incarnations of the Lord. But Krishna, he's Bhagavan, he's the cause of all causes. He's the cause of all the other forms of Bhagavan also. This is described in the Krishna Gita. Is that Shara Akshara? Sara? Fallible and infallible. Right. Two classes of people. One is fallible, one is infallible. Fallible people mean the conditioned jivas of this material world. The infallible means those who are liberated in the spiritual world, not contaminated. They're not fallible, they're infallible. They're the same as the truth of Krishna. identity. And besides these two, there's another one. He's the Paramatma who's entered into the material world and he's maintaining them. So here's another Brahman. First is Brahman, the Jiva. Then there is Paramatma, who enters in the world and maintains. And then Krishna says, but because I am transcendental both beyond the Brahman, or the Jivas, the conditioned Jivas, and the liberated Jivas, and transcendental to the Paramatma, and transcendental to all the different incarnations of the world, all the different forms of Brahman, I am celebrated as Purushottama. Krishna likes that word, Purushottama, above all others. That's one of his names. So he likes that, I am Purushottama. I'm above Brahman, I'm above Paramatma, I'm above even the other forms of Bhagavan. So therefore, Krishna is still Bhagavan Swayam. He is the absolute truth. He is the last word in the absolute truth. But we also find that there are Lord Nrsingadev and Ramchandra, these are also said to be known different than Krishna. There are some forms of Prabhupada said, Lord Ram can play the flute. But he doesn't. He sees it for Krishna. But he can do it. So these forms are very dear, and they said they're equal. Equal to Krishna. So who is the actual ultimate absolute truth of the Bhagavans? But these two are very special. They're equal to Krishna. So, in the Bhagavatamrita, Maharaj was reading the Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami? So, yeah, he was reading that explanation about these three personalities and who is actually supreme. And he gives the example of Hiranyakashipu. And he met Lord Nrsingadev. And he had a fight with him. But he thought that Lord Nrsingadev was an ordinary person. By his pious activities, by his problems, he's got immense power, he's got this astonishing form, half man, half lion. But he's got it through his own prowess, through his own pious activities. So therefore he wasn't thinking of Krishna, of Vishnu. And he was killed. So he's an expert. So Krishna, he gave him supreme opulence. He's an expert in one of Ravana. Ravana was very, very powerful. He had more enjoyment in wealth than a demigod because he was occupying Indra's seat. And he had a city of gold. So Krishna gave him immense wealth. Then he met Lord Ram, but he couldn't understand also Ram is a supreme person. He was so lusty for Sita, contaminated by Raja, that he couldn't understand. And he thought, yeah, he's just an extraordinary person who's attained so much power. So Ram killed him also. So then he gained so much wealth, and he became Shishupala. Shishupala, that was one of the great kingdoms at that time. He was extremely wealthy. So again, he was allowed, he gave so much enjoyment, so much wealth to these demons he killed. But when Krishna himself, he killed Shishupala, Shishupala knew he was Vishnu. He knew all along he is Vishnu. That's Krishna's Vishnu. He hated him. He slandered him every moment. He was always constantly blaspheming Krishna. But he knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was attracted by his form and by his names. He was chanting his names all the time, Pondrikaksha and things like that. Lotus Idol. He was always chanting Krishna's names because he was always blaspheming. And seeing the form, the beautiful form of Krishna. So specifically, the potency of the form and the attractiveness of Krishna's form and Krishna's names. He was absorbed in Krishna. Although it was in hatred, he was completely absorbed. Hiranyakashipu Ravana was absorbed in Vishnu, but he, Srila Prabhupada was completely so absorbed in Vishnu, in his nature, but he was completely absorbed. So therefore, when Krishna killed him, he got spiritual salvation. He entered into the spiritual realm. So although Lord Srinivasa and Lord Ram gave unlimited benediction and wealth, they didn't give spiritual realization. But because Shishupala understood that he was Vishnu himself, then Krishna gave him spiritual realization. So therefore, it's that Krishna, he has that supreme attractive qualities, more attractive qualities than Lord Nrsimhadevaraja. He has it more. So then all that makes Krishna actually the supreme personality of God, above either Ram and above even Shri. Although they're identical, the same, but the form of Krishna makes have more sweetness and they're more attractive. So in this way, Krishna reveals everything, the ultimate personality of God. The supreme absolute truth is Krishna, Vasudeva. There is no difference between Krishna's inner self and outward body. Krishna is Purna, the complete whole. There is no distinction between his body and soul as there is between ours. Sometimes so-called scholars, not knowing the constitutional position of Krishna, mislead people by saying that Krishna, the Krishna within, is different from the Krishna without. When Krishna says, the so-called scholars advise readers that it is not to the person Krishna whom we must surrender, but to the Krishna within. The so-called scholars, Mayavadis, cannot understand with their profound knowledge. One should therefore approach an authorized person to understand Krishna. So Prabhupada often quotes this. This is the name of that one philosopher he quotes, was Dr. Radha Krishnan, who was president of India. Second president of India. Somehow or another he was causing some disturbance, so they threw him in jail. He was a big politician, but big politicians, they get into trouble sometimes. So they threw him in jail, and he was with all these criminals, and he thought, I had to act as a holy man, so he started speaking Gita. So it was Christmas and always a great saint. And then he broke it into a book, Bhagavad Gita. I think Prabhupada met him, and he told Prabhupada, I could write in Bengali language, but you're writing in English. Prabhupada says, he writes in English. He tells me to write in Bengali. Anyway, but in his Bhagavad Gita, he says that it's not to Krishna you surrender, to the unborn, eternal, within Krishna, that is the ultimate who you have to surrender to. So this is Mayavada philosophy. There is no difference between Krishna's inside and outside. There is a difference between our soul and our body, but in Krishna he is all completely transcendental. But they make a distinction. This is the biggest fault in the Mayavada philosophy. That when Krishna comes here, he accepts the body in the mode of goodness. And he's dancing with other men's wives and the other life. It's not goodness, it's rajasic. Anyway, some other they say he's born in good mode of, his body is made with the mode of goodness. I was talking to one Mayavadi here one time, and I said, oh, so you are an incarnation of God? He said, no, I'm not an incarnation of God, I am God. As if there was a difference. But he was understanding that the forms of God, the incarnations, they're in the mode of goodness, but actually they all come from the unborn. So I'm actually the God. I'm not the incarnation, I am God. This is how, to the extent of their ego. So one should therefore approach the authorized person to understand Krishna. the spiritual master is actually seeing Krishna, and therefore he can explain him properly. So only the devotee can understand. We can only understand that through the devotee. Hadvili Pati Panina, Vani Prashnina Shaila Yoga Shanti Ti Yamin Yaninasta Prashina. Without approaching an authorized person, one cannot understand Krishna. And the authorized person is a devotee. And how is it that Krishna is revealed by the devotee? What is the qualification of the devotee? He has to be. His qualification, he has to be submissive and humble. You have to approach, try to understand the truth by approaching the spiritual master, render the service, approach in a humble attitude. Because it's by this humble attitude and wanting to render the service that the guru reveals it. It's not any of our knowledge or our anything else. If the guru is satisfied with our devotional attitude in approaching him. So we approach in a humble mode and render service, and he is pleased to bless. And anything can happen. Krishna has sold himself to the devotees, and they give him to others. So, just like this 20 items of knowledge given in Bhagavad Gita. And what is the first item? Humility. What knowledge is humility? Is it knowledge? But anyway, it's on top because it starts on top because if you're not humble, then you're not going to receive knowledge. Even the teacher is teaching, if you're not humble, you're not going to be able to receive knowledge. So therefore, it begins. Humility. So therefore, Krishna is saying, Guru Granth approaches me in humility, submissively, and render service. Then he can be imparted knowledge. Otherwise, how can any knowledge come? How can any, if we're full of our own understanding and we're not submissive and we're not ready to offer service, how we can receive anything? So by this attitude, then we can attract the attention of Guru and Krishna. So here, Chaturbhati is pointing out the ultimate truth, Vasudeva Sharma. Bhagavan is the ultimate last word. And of all the forms of Bhagavan, Krishna is the ultimate. Therefore, Krishna is the Supreme Person of Bhagavan. That's true. So that's the essence of everything. And when you know Krishna, you know everything. Well, the famous Prabhupada said, scholar, so what is the absolute truth? What is God? But Swamiji, it will take a lot of explanation. It needs a lot of time to discuss. It's very intricate, very detailed. Saraswati, this is Saraswati's daughter. Saraswati, who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She knows, you do not know. Because she has simply heard, and she accepted, and she has heard to Krishna. She knew this well. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srimad Prabhupada Ki, Srimad Veda Bhaktivinoda Ki, Nityananda Gopinandananda Ki.
They're all devotees. Krishna says they're all pious. So they're all devotees of Krishna. But the wise one, all the way, he completely surrenders to Krishna. So he's a gyani, but he hasn't come to the point of complete surrender yet. So he's a gyani mystery. Thank you.